You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth from relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
So we just thank you, Father, that your presence never leaves. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Nothing comes through except it has to go through you first. So let's just get ready for the word. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before your throne, washed in the blood of Jesus. I thank you for giving me the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. Make me a quick understanding so I do not judge by what I see with my eyes or hear with my ears, but by what your Holy Spirit reveals to me. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence and ask you to be Lord over this ministry and all that is done here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to anoint this time of prayer and ministry. We claim the blood of Jesus over this session for our protection. We proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord here and that this is holy ground. We take authority in the name of Jesus and the power of his blood and word and command all evil spirits to leave this property now. We claim this room sealed in the name and authority of Jesus. We bind and forbid any evil spirits on the outside from having any knowledge or influence in this room. We thank you that the battle is the Lord's, but the victory is ours. We thank you that you have the right to adjust, to shift, to change, to move, to do whatever is necessary to bring forth your glory, your power, your might, your dominion, your increase, your peace, your victory, your abundance in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all in agreement say, amen, amen. You can have a seat. Thank you. Thank you, Ashley. What was the name of that second song? Yeah, you believe that one.
I believe that one.
Okay, all right. How y'all doing this morning? What do you think we talking about? You talking to me? Are you talking to me? Jade, are you talking to me? Now, what am I saying to me? That's what you got to take a look at. What have you been saying this week? This is a mental checkup. What have you been saying this week? What have your thoughts like been? Have they been in a positive direction or a negative direction, or in between? Anybody want to share what they've been thinking? Well, I tell you what you been thinking about why worship was going on? Y'all call it out. I'm gonna just repeat it. What were you thinking about doing worship? I got one in the back. Breath.
Rest.
Rest. Okay, he was thinking about rest. He stayed up last night. I'm not gonna go into that. All right, what else? Anybody on this side? I hope it don't fall out. Why should you fall out? Because of the anointing. Yeah. There it is, the anointing. Okay. What else? You thought about all his miracles. Everything he's done for me. Okay. So while you sang that, you were actually in the moment. You know, some people can sing and they go somewhere else. Y'all know that, right?
Him blessing me with my 52nd year and a day.
Glory. Happy birthday. Her birthday was yesterday. So she thought about doing her birthday, thanking him for what he's done for her. Anybody else? Didn't want to stop. Yeah, I could tell y'all didn't want to stop. All right, so you know how I do a quick review. Y'all remember this, right? Our thoughts will direct our self-talk. What's going to direct our self-talk? So we're going to think something, and then self-talk picks it up and said, okay, well, if they're thinking about that, then let's see how many thoughts I can come up with so that you can start to talk about it. Talk about it in your head. That's what happens. It goes in your head first. And then the more you talk about it, the more it goes to your heart. When it gets in the heart, that means it's rooted. It has a seed. And so it's looking for a way to manifest itself. So y'all write this down. Write this down. It is important to note, we don't get what we want. We get what we expect. That's where faith is. Unless what we want and what we expect are the same. That's by C. Jensen. Y'all check it out. It is important to note, we don't get what we want. We get what we expect. Unless what we want and what we expect are the same. Inquiring minds want to know, is that in the Bible? Yeah, the scripture says, how can two walk except they agree? So you have a thought life and then you have a faith life. Are those two in agreement? If they're not, you are going to wonder why it didn't happen. Why didn't it manifest? See, the difference between, well, the way it works, the conscious, that's what you reason with, and the subconscious, unless they are in agreement, it's called anxiety. So the conscious is saying, well, you shouldn't be worried about this. The subconscious is saying something else. And so the two are not in agreement, so that's where anxiety comes from. One of those guys are telling you, you need to walk in God's word. And the other one is saying, but no, you need to do what you want to do. And so it's telling you to run. It's telling you to stand. It's telling you to fight. And when you're not in agreement, anxiety comes up. Because it says, okay, I didn't get clear directions. I thought you wanted me to do this. We talked about let the healing begin. We say step number one is what? Start with God's word. You always have to have a scripture that you're going to stand on. Don't stand on your wisdom. Stand on his wisdom. Because his wisdom can't end. It was always there and it will always be there. His wisdom got the anointing attached to it. His wisdom got insight attached to it. His wisdom got the final victory attached to it. See, we go from glory to glory. He's already at the end of the glory that we're about to go to. So he knows us well enough to know, well, I need you to take a right and go this way. My son-in-law and I, we went cycling yesterday. And it was a, y'all heard about the big accident on 95? And it was like that. I heard on the news this morning for 15 hours. There was a truck spill and they had chemicals on the road and all that. So Mr. Coy, you know, he's an international truck driver. And so he said, Pastor, I think I'm going to go down this way, and I'm going to go this way, and I'm going to go this way, because we couldn't get on the interstate. So he even noticed. He said, after a while, I know Pastor was wondering where I was taking him. I had no idea where he was taking me. All I know, we end up at the place we needed to be so we could cycle. So now, see, people might think that's strange, but God knew that I couldn't get there. So he sent me somebody else ahead of time that knew that way. So see, he's sending you people to take you to the next level, but you're kicking against them. Am I lying on anybody? You can look back. You can always look back. What they say, hindsight is 20/20. You can always look back and realize, well, that person was for me. But I pushed them aside. So what was your self-talk saying? Just because the last five people you dealt with you couldn't trust, he sent you a new person that you still trying to figure out where they came from. Because he knew all those other five you dealt with had similar characteristics. So he said, if I send them a new person, they won't associate them with the other person. But what did we do with our self-talk? I couldn't trust them five, so I can't trust this six. Did you ever ask him? Let me keep on going. So the main thing, you got to start out with God's word. Number two, catch our inner critic. We talked about our inner critic. And we said, listen to what you're telling yourself. How tired will you be if this is what your first week of doing this? You'll be extremely tired. Because Satan is a real person. He's a real spirit. He wants us to be so occupied by what we're listening to, all the different things we're watching, that we don't pay attention to our thoughts. And if we catch our thoughts and take a look at them, and I'm going to get into that in a second. Listen for your words. Doing your self-talk, what are you saying to yourself? What are you thinking? What is your attitude? What is your tone? And what are your actions? So you want to be, as your inner critic, you want to be listening for those things. Because see, what will happen is, if we say the right word, thank you. Thank you very much. So that's words, right? What was my attitude behind and tone behind those words? Did that go with thank you? But then we're going to defend that and we're going to say, well, I said thank you. Anybody ever, y'all identify what I'm saying? Okay. But see, if you do your, you catch your inner critic, you're going to find out one of those words, one, two, three, four, five things you'll be looking for. And you'll be able to say, wait a minute, my attitude and my tone was a little off. So maybe I need to do that again. All right, y'all write this down. Y'all gonna get mad at this one. This is a National Psychological Conference. And they said emotional pain, this is study over the brain, the mindset. Emotional pain lasts us for 10 to 20. Now, emotional pain is not like you hit yourself. This is something that happened to you or a way that you interacted with what just took place. So we're not talking about physical pain. Emotional pain lasts us 10 to 20 minutes. Anything longer is actually self-inflicted. What's self-inflicted? We did it to ourselves. By overthinking, which makes things worse. How many of y'all mad at the brother for teaching this? If you are, you didn't raise your hand. Thank God. So that means when something happened to you, it should only last 20 minutes max. Emotional. That means somebody said something out of the way or somebody said something special or you interacted with something that was special. You should be able to process that. By doing what? Thinking on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, and a good report. You go to and you process it so you don't self-inflict and make things worse. You're going to do a self-inflict by forgiving, walking in his grace, and looking at what should I be focused on. But some people decide they want to make that last a lifetime. Have you ever noticed that sometimes situations happen, and when you go to apologize, they don't even remember what you're talking about? Anybody ever encountered that? But y'all make sure you take a look at that. Number three, it says, take every thought captive. If it's a good thought, what are we supposed to do with it? Because what would a good thought do with us, do to us? It encourage us. It's like good medicine. When we think on good thoughts, it produces good medicine. You'd be excited. So, you know, when you have time, most people got grandkids and all that kind of stuff, or your own children. Take a look at how they look at life. I mean, you know, I know when we were growing up, we could turn anything into a play toy. We didn't have, you know, we'll take a skateboard. And the skateboard, if the wheels go out, we'll make something else out of it. We didn't have, parents couldn't buy horses, so we just get a stick. See a tree? Take that stick, stick it in between your legs, and you hopping on down the road, buddy. When the last time you seen a kid walk with a stick there? Get a stick, turn it into a sword. The stick break in half, you can't ride it no more. Okay, so then. It's a good thought. When we look out the window and seeing that happen, we thinking to ourselves, that child just saved me a lot of money. Okay? Our trucks were, you know, when we had the trucks that you could get in and ride, you know, we had to do like Flintstone. You know how Flintstone moved it like this? Shoot, these kids now, they got a key to it, got to charge the battery, and they riding around. But if it's a good thought, you got to keep it. But if it's a bad thought, what are you supposed to do? Grab it and replace it. I said, didn't say grab it and rebuke it. The more I tell you don't think blue, I don't care what you hear me say, how many times I say blue, don't think about blue. What are you thinking about? Blue. That's what happened when we try to rebuke a thought. I ain't no think on it. I'm going to let it go. No, you replace the thought. I'm glad I get to rest. I'm glad I get to sleep. I'm glad I get to, I found out who that person really is. But I tell you what, I got so many other friends that won't take, that won't take no time to get over. You gotta replace the thought. But this is where it goes, where it gets interesting. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, in the Amplified Bible says, we are, who's supposed to do it? We are destroying sophisticated arguments. Can we make a good argument? Yeah. I got a lawyer in the house. Lawyer in the house. The girl can change anything, but mama, but daddy. We need to destroy sophisticated arguments in every proud and lofty thing. So if the thoughts don't line up, if the thought's not good for us, you grab the thought. Because, see, the reason why you grab it is because you don't want it to get away. You want to tell it what you want it to do. Because what happens is, if you don't grab it and tell it what to do, it's going to come in on you, and then we just put it in a pocket. Now, let's see, that happened at 7 o'clock that morning when you went to get some coffee. That first thought came up. You didn't like how the person interacted with you. So you just put it in your pocket. Then you drive away after you got your coffee and somebody pulled in front of you. That's another thought you didn't grab, so you're going to put that one in your pocket. That's 709. So by the time you get to 5 o'clock, how many things have happened that you just stuffed and put it in your pocket? Say a whole bunch. A plethora. I knew it was coming. A plethora. A plethora of stuff has happened. So then when you get home, let's say that, you know, you got a dinner party or a dinner that you're supposed to meet somebody with. Now, who are you going to take it out on? The person at the dinner party. And they looking at you like, what the heck's wrong with you? That's why I always say, when you got special people you meeting for lunch or dinner, you drive. Don't drive with them. Because if they get special on you, you won't be able to drive away. But if you with them, you got to ride with them, they upset, and you just want to leave. You just want to walk home. But see, you got to grab. We are destroying sophisticated arguments. You got to argue with that thought by taking, this is not good for me. Whatever things are good, this is not a good thought. So I'm not going to allow it to spend any more time with me. Because I get to decide who stays in my head. You do know that, right? You get to decide who stays in your head. You have special conversations. You encounter somebody that's special. And you're going to get them straight. Now, you got all night long, you're going to be saying what you're going to say. But you know what messed you up? When you got this argument with somebody, and the first thing out of their mouth, they say, please forgive me. I had a situation at work a couple years ago. The person is no longer with us because she said, I don't know what to do with this guy. I said, forgive me. I don't want your forgiveness. Why would you bring up forgiveness? Because I offended you. It's a real thing. So we're supposed to grab every thought that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive. Didn't I say we got to grab it? To the obedience of Christ. This thought does not line up with God's word. By the time I finish with it, it is. But you got to grab it. You got to tell it something. I'm telling you guys, you're thinking stuff right now. So look, all right, y'all ready for this one? This is where I left off. Okay, I got time. If we sense resistance, like I'm talking right now, I'm sharing it right now, and I'm sensing resistance. I'm not going to say which side it is. I'm not even going to tell you who it is, but I know who it is. Okay, all right, but check this out. We should be on the lookout for these three defense mechanisms. Defense mechanisms are not a healthy way of processing thoughts. It gives you the code, defense mechanisms. So I'm finding a way to defend how I think, what I do, what I say. That's not healthy. So one of the ways we do it is we justify. Now, I'm going to tell you what each one means, or we rationalize, or we minimize. It really wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad at all. Yeah, I know I told her that when we go on a trip, I'll pay my half. But I didn't pay my half. So I'm going to minimize the fact that, remember all the times I told you I paid for you. We were talking about $1,000 now. You only gave me $20. Y'all hear people like that? Or always forget their wallet. Y'all ever been out with somebody, always forget it? Raise your hand on your side. They always forget their water. They invite you to dinner, then they forget it. Oh, this side always hit. Okay. All right. All right, so number one was justified. So this is your homework. This is your end work. Once we sense resistance, you ask yourself, am I justifying? What is justifying? To provide an explanation. Y'all know how long the explanation lasts, right? You're like, I'm sorry, I just brought the thing up. To provide an explanation or a rationale for something to make it seem okay. Do we sin like that? I mean, some of y'all sinned before, right? I know I was a sinner. That's why I got saved. So what ends up happening? Justifying. Like I said, what it does. Let me grab my pad. Hold on a second. Justifying. Anybody justified it this morning? When you showed up late? I'm just talking out loud. So, let me give you an example of justification. I know. Y'all raise your hand when I read this. Y'all ready? Y'all going to be honest? Or y'all going to minimize? Okay, you're going to be honest. Thank you. All right, so remember I said justification to provide an explanation or rationale for something to make it seem okay. He yelled at me first. So I yelled back. Anybody over here that used that one? Okay, all right, we got honest people over here. What are these people going to do? Okay, all right, they're going to be honest. So that's a defense. So when a person does that, they are defending their position. So go ahead and make sure you put defense by this one. Okay? Are y'all ready for the next one? Okay, if we sense resistance, so if we ask ourselves, am I resisting this? Am I rationalizing? Okay, y'all know what rationalization is. I'm going to tell you what it is. You try to explain. Now, this one takes a while. To make something seem reasonable by making excuses for our behavior. The reason why I'm late is, now you've been late for 20 out of 21 days. Because the traffic was backed up. Well, after the first time, shouldn't you leave a little early? But you're explaining what happened. My child, I'm going to blame the child. But then when you get let go, which one of these things you going to use? So check this out. Making excuses for our behavior. So that's what happened. Rationalizing, try to explain to make something seem reasonable by making excuses for our behavior. Anybody ever use that one? Yeah, I got one right here. 2, 3. Okay, y'all getting honest. Okay. All right. So this is the one y'all use the most there because more hands went up on this one. All right, but see what happened. Let me give you an example of that. She doesn't pay attention to me, so I deserve to. Y'all fill in the blank. Cheat? What else? Uh-oh. To be happy? Okay, all right, okay. Cheat? What else? They're going back to cheat. Cuss her out. Ignore her. Who said leave alone? Leave alone. Man said leave alone. Just leave alone. So that one, what you're doing, the core of that one is excuses. So if you're a person that like to come up with excuses, just know you rationalize. You're going to make sure. All right, now the third one is this. Once we sense resistance, am I minimizing? Minimizing is reducing the size and intensity of a situation. It wasn't that bad. So in counseling, what I've encountered is you can tell a person's tone when they're mad at God, don't you? Can y'all tell when somebody's mad at God? Can y'all tell when you mad at God? Oh, raise your hand if you can tell you're mad at God. Okay? I appreciate y'all. Oh, this is an honest group. So what happens is I had to change the prayer name because the prayer was called Forgiving God. People ain't want to mess with that one. So I say, talking to God about your emotions. I had to change the wording up. So do you want to talk to God about your emotions of anger, disappointment, and so forth? Yeah, I can do that one. Yeah, I can do that one. But the reality of you mad at God. But see, that minimize is like that. When I'm dealing with somebody who's been molested, I don't have any children here. They'll make sure they use the term, well, there was no penetration. Was it an inappropriate touch? And men are real tough with this molestation thing. They don't want to. They don't want to talk about that thing. But whatever you don't acknowledge, you don't get healed of. Because see, the God that I serve, He always goes to the core of the issue. Where is it planted? When I got any farmers in here, past farmers. I'm looking at them right here. You know, He dig a hole deep enough for the seed to be able to fertilize, for it to be able to grow. I know I didn't use the right terminology for that, but anyway, just stay with me. All right? So you got to dig deep to plant something so that it will grow and the weight of its height will be manifested in how deep the soil was. So if we got issues in our life, I don't deal with the top issue. I deal with the core, where it's planted. But people will minimize it. No, that didn't happen. But it goes in the head. There's no such thing as an unexpressed emotion. It's going to go somewhere and it's going to do something. Your body is going to respond to that seed that you planted that's not resolved. We don't fight. We just argue a lot. Whenever minimizing comes up, it's to avoid pain. Nobody wants to feel pain. But we get to determine, we get to determine how long the pain stays. I just can't say that enough because God gave us the ability to process our emotions. Deal means I'm dealing with my emotion. I didn't do anything to it. I just stuffed it. Processing means I did what I said. I grab it, take a look at it, decide where I'm going to put it. I had a question or a statement.
So if we justify, minimize, and rationalize ourselves, so it's easier for us to do that for other people. Mm-hmm. So how does that happen? Where does that stem from? Like the
So if I'm doing other things for other people because I don't want them to be upset with me, minimize, rationalize, and so forth, then there's a codependency piece on the inside of me. And that codependency says, I want them to like me, so I won't tell them the truth. I'm going to put up with stuff because I need to be liked. I need to be approved. So we're dealing with abandonment and rejection whenever codependent lifestyle manifests. Or let's add this one. This is one that's really coming up lately, and that is perfection. So if you tell me that I did something wrong, you are destroying me because I have this image of myself that I'm perfect. So I will now, you become my person that I have to overcome. So anything that I say, I'm going to check it out with you to see whether I said it right. And the more I'll come to you, the more dependent I am on you. Because you're going to keep moving the gauge. That's why everyone needs to be healthy enough where they'll set a boundary. The boundary says, I'm going to do this, but that's as far as I'm going to go. So check this out. If you're in a relationship and you are the codependent one, meaning that I need your approval, that spirit person on them picked up that spirit person on you, and they said, wow, this is the perfect match, because over time, I'll just keep moving the gauge and you'll keep reaching for it. So if you're living in a codependent lifestyle, you're dealing with a person that will never be satisfied by how you try to fix it, because their thing is, wow, this is going to be easy. I just tell her, I don't like that car. Because I got to please you, I'll go out and buy another one. Well, I don't like the color of that. They won't paint it. They'll turn it back in and get another one. But I don't like the shade of that color. You can never please a person that has that rule over you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
In the codependency relationship, you're actually dealing with abandonment issues.
Abandonment, rejection, and perfection.
Okay, thank you.
So the mindset says, Faith, is it was my fault that I was abandoned or rejected. So if I can fix myself, then what will happen is they'll want me back.
Over that.
First you got to see it.
Okay,
and then,
I see it.
Okay. Then, she said, I see it.
I see it.
Ain't no rationalize, ain't nothing in it.
I see it.
You come and get healed.
A few relationships that I have.
Okay. That's a core issue that needs to be resolved through counseling so that you can find out how God sees you. Okay? Because once he tells you how much you're worth, then, see, y'all write this down. This is what God freed me of. Because I'm loved, I serve. Codependency says, I serve so that I can get love. Codependency says, I serve so I can get love. When you have a healthy respect for yourself by you being a believer and you accepted the worth that God gave you, you perform because you are loved. So everything that you do is because you already know you love. You're not trying to get approval. You're not trying to get acceptance. You know you love. But if that thing is not settled, you're going to jump over. You're going to give your last. You're going to give them the best. You might not have, if they need $20, you're not going to give them $20. You're going to give them everything you got. You're going to give them $60. You got $60 in your pocket, you'll figure out how to eat another day. And they just keep moving the gauge. They keep moving the gauge. What did she say? She said, okay, all right. It's a real thing, guy. This codependency thing is, okay, Pastor, where is that in the Bible? Adam and Eve. God talked to Adam, and he said, look, this is what we got, Adam. You are responsible for what's going to happen. I don't want you to eat of this tree. You got everything that you want.
Y'all ever had everything that you wanted and then you still want something else? Now, I'm meddling. I'm meddling. So God said, look, you got everything. I mean, they didn't have to worry about air condition. They didn't have to worry about rain. Where do you think sprinkler system came from? God did that. The water just came up and sprinkled everything, made sure your grass was green and everything. You got all the plants you need. You got everything going on. He said, I tell you what, you can have it all. Just don't mess with that tree. Who did he tell that to? Adam. Now, Eve was hanging around. She was close by. She was close by, boo. But what ended up happening was, Eve looked good. Eve looked good. So she said, I tell you what, it's like I talked to this dude over here that was a snake. I interacted with him, He would tell me some cool stuff. And I don't believe that thing that God told you. You said he told you? No. What he really meant was we can have it all. So what ended up happening? They had it all. She took a tree, handed it over to him. What was he supposed to say? What was his self-talk supposed to be? No? But see, Faith, he was afraid he was going to get rejected. He said, this is the only woman in the world. This is the only woman in the world. If she leave me, what I got? God said, same way I made her, I can make her know. but that's what he did. He said, he ate the whole apple. He was like, and I'm just using the apple as an example. And he ate the whole thing. And then like, you got another one for me? But he got his woman. And when God came to him, he didn't talk to her about it. He talked to the person he put in charge. And the person he puts in charge, you always go to the person of authority. And he talked to him about it. So I tell you what's going to happen. Because of what you did, things are going to be tougher. The sprinkler system was coming up. You're going to have to tour that now. You're going to have to rate that. I can't keep you in the place that you was in, the best of the best. I got to send you to another place. And because of what you did, my son now is going to have to come to the earth as man, die on the cross, to take people back to what I planned for them to have, which is everything. So I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you for that, Faith. Father, you with Adam and Eve, but you always thinking ahead. You thought years, 2,000 years ahead of the situation and circumstance. So you got a plan for us now. Some of us are in trouble based on what we allowed in our life. Some of us are in desperation. If you don't come, they won't have life tomorrow. And when I mean come is that the offering that I'm about to offer is for you to be in our lives. So there's a decision that needs to be made. And you, the person that I'm talking to, you international in Germany, in Africa, all over the world, he has a plan. And if you just take a moment of time, you can see that your plan didn't work. Your plan did not work. Because we are where we are, because we're what we choose to operate and have in our lives. So if we're tired of being tired, he's the answer. If we're tired of being sick, he's the healer. If we're tired of being poor, he's the abundance. If we're tired of not having peace, he is the answer. If we want life on new ground, and not only new life, but eternal life, life that we will have forever. If we were to close our eyes, we will wake up in glory in his presence. So anyone that's watching, I don't care how small you are. I don't care how old you are. This is an opportunity. This is a chance to start anew. So those in the congregation will repeat after me as a form of agreement with what we're believing for you. So repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. I call on your name now, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. I receive you now. I make you the Lord of my life. Therefore, according to your word, I am now saved. I'm born again. I have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for giving me the Son, the S-O-N. I'm saved now. In Jesus' name. Just make sure you go to chosenrva.com. It's our website. And go to new members, and you'll see a section in there where my wife and I did a teaching on what just took place in your life. Amen? Amen? You guys get anything? Yeah, I know I did. Because see, when I got to teach, I got to study what I'm teaching. And God's showing me stuff along the way.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.